How much rand is 5 euro? Okay. Okay. Yeah, it's such a joy and privilege to be here for us. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you for listening to us. It means a lot if people are willing to sit down and listen to what we have to say. And we are trusting God for His wisdom. You know, whenever we have to speak about something, we have to, I think inevitably we question ourselves at how well am I doing at this? How well did I do in that season of my life? I think it's a combination of our testimony, but mostly God's faithfulness and God's goodness and the truth of the Word. So, if I can have the first scripture there, please, Charlotte. Yes, I want to read from Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 12. And I know you are going to think this is not for the single session, this is the wrong scripture, but it is for this session. It's better to have a partner than go at it alone. Share the work, share the wealth. And if one falls down, the other helps. But if there's no one to help, tough. Two in a bed warm each other. Alone, you shiver all night. In South Africa, we do shiver because there's no central heating. And we lived, like Anton told you, we suffered for the gospel in a town called Standerton, where it was very cold, and I was shivering literally at night. And I want to start by saying that I do not know you at all. I wanted to say well, but I only know your names. And Christy told me about her workplace, and that's basically, and I know that Jackie is a teacher. That's what I know about you. And Carlos and Elmi told us a little bit about some of you. I don't know you on the surface, and I do not know your hearts. I know the testimony about you, which is very good. But I know that being single must be a challenge and must be tough. And I am not sure exactly what it is like here in the UK and in England. But in South Africa, I know that it is quite a challenge, not just in terms of your personal life, but also just in terms of the opinion of the church and the opinion of people. And I know that even though we all have our own battles and our own sufferings, and some people who are married are desperate to not be in that marriage anymore and are suffering, I know that this scripture is true, and I know that most of us, perhaps all of us, have a need to have someone, to a partner, and not to go at life alone. We want someone to keep us warm at night. We want someone to, I almost want to say, add purpose to our lives, and someone who can journey alongside. And while we are waiting for that person, it can be a challenge. And I want to speak about that this morning. There's a lot that one can say, but I think I would really like to encourage you. We can go to the next scripture, please, Charlotte. We can go back, sorry. There's a song. Do you know Nana Muskuri? No, she's like from the olden days. But I grew up as a child. My parents listened to Nana Muskuri. She's an old lady now. And I used somebody's car the other day, and she had her parents' CDs in her car. She said to me, "It belongs to my parents." There was Nana Muskuri, and I thought, I grew up with this music. It was still a tape, you know. Do you know? You guys don't know. It was before CDs existed. And I put the CD in, and I had all these memories flooding my mind because I grew up with this music. And there's a song that she sings, and one of the phrases in that song is, "And yes, I know how lonely life can be. The shadows follow me, and the night won't set me free." And I think for us, I think all of us have those moments where we wake up at night and we feel utterly lonely. And I think, you know, you can feel lonely in marriage. You can most definitely feel utterly lonely in marriage. But I think if you are single, your challenge is even greater. When you do wake up at night and there's no one lying beside you. And I believe that God wants to speak. Good morning. I believe that God wants to speak to us in this area of our lives. I would like to read the next scripture. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." I love the scripture. I often in my life hold on to the scripture because there's so much in this life that I cannot explain. And when people who do not love God or do not follow God ask me questions that I cannot answer, this is a definite answer. And I tell them, look, what I do believe in is the Word of God and the Bible. I believe in it because I have experienced it to be true. And the Word of God tells us there is a lot in this life that we will not understand. And that is just the way that it is. And it is okay that we do not understand it. I always think about it when you get it, when somebody sends you a photo and there's not a good internet connection and it's blurry. And you desperately want to see, but it's blurry. You know how you feel, what you feel like, and you are waiting for it to become clear. In the same way, often, I think in our lives, we look and we see, but we cannot see clearly. And we do not understand. I want to show you a photo there. I don't know if you can. Thanks, David. That is Caleb. That's an old photo. All my photos are old this morning. Sorry, I picked my favorites. They are not so recent. That's Caleb. This is a couple of years ago. He is six now. And he's our youngest child. And Caleb is fairly strong-willed. You can switch the light on again. Thanks, David. And when Caleb was about that age, maybe a little bit younger, I was driving with him. And we were driving in Standerton, the cold town. And it wasn't just cold. The roads are very bad there, like potholes. I don't know if you have potholes in England. Are there any potholes, David? Wow, they are. Okay. You are not perfect yet. Hey? So I was driving on this very bad road full of potholes, and it was actually hailing. Not just raining. There was a storm. It was hailing. And there were all these coal trucks on the road. And I was driving from my parents to our house, which is about a 40-minute drive. And Caleb was in the back in his car seat. And he hated his car seat. Our four kids were all fine with the car seat, and then Caleb came along and he despised the car seat. So I had to strap him into the seat when I left my parents' house, and he started screaming and kicking and yelling at me that he doesn't want to be in this car seat. And I looked at him and I realized nothing that I am going to say now, nothing is going to help him. He sees one thing, he has understanding about one thing, and that thing is that to his 2-year-old mind, it makes no sense whatsoever to be strapped into this car seat. It's uncomfortable. There's not enough space. He wants to be free. So as we were driving from Amersfoort, which is my parents' town, to Standerton for about 40 minutes, it actually took longer because of the storm and the trucks and everything. Caleb screamed and kicked for the 50 minutes that we were driving. And it was so loud that I started developing a headache. So I put the music on, and the louder he screamed, the louder I would put the music. And I was very aware of him, not just physically in my ears, but emotionally I was very aware of him. But, and this is what I want to speak about, and that's why there's a picture of me as well, and not just Caleb. In order to be a good mother, I had to keep him in that car seat. He had no understanding, and I could not explain. And as I was driving and actually begging God that this child will just stop screaming, couldn't take it any longer, I felt that God was speaking to me, and God said to me, "It is the same with you. I am a good father, and I know about your life, and I see the bigger picture. And I know why I allow things in your life. I know why your life is tough sometimes. I know that you do not understand. But there's nothing that I can tell you often because you will have no understanding. So I am just asking you to trust me." I would like to read that next scripture. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." So this is my introduction, basically. I want to encourage you to trust in the Lord with all of your hearts, and to not lean on your own understanding. While you are waiting for this person, there are only single ladies here. Hey, is Dong single? Engaged. While you are waiting for that husband, that life partner, I want to encourage you, and Anton will speak a lot as well about many things that might perhaps make more sense on a day-to-day level to you. But I want to encourage you this morning, before we speak about anything else, to trust God with your life. You may have questions. You may have had experiences. But what we should understand is that God is a good parent. He's a loving father. And often we cannot figure things out. And that is just the way that it is. We should just make peace with that. And we should trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. And before we say anything else this morning, I want to encourage you ladies to trust God with your life. To trust Him that He knows. To trust Him that He is in control. And to take the risk of not looking to yourself, not looking to your own ideas, not looking to what you have done or to what you have to do, but every single morning when you wake up, say, "God, my life is in your hands. And today I am trusting you to do what I have to do today and to do it well. And you know my desires and you know what I want and you know what I need. And my life is in your hands." So let's move on to the next scripture. So this is Paul speaking. And the Apostle Paul was a powerful man, as most of us will know. And Paul says, "Sometimes I wish everyone were single like me. A simpler life in many ways. But celibacy is not for everyone, any more than marriage is. God gives the gift of the single life to some and the gift of the married life to others." Charlotte, I'm not sure if this carries on. Can you just go to the next slide? Okay, so I don't know exactly what it is like here in the UK, but I had some conversations with Carlos and Elmery, and I think I got an idea. But in South Africa, for sure, and in the church, definitely, we like to put marriage on a pedestal, and we are almost making it an idol. Nobody can convince me otherwise. People think in church often, if I can just get married, then I will find my purpose. Then I will be on my way. Then my life will make sense. And then I will be accepted, if I may say this, in my church. Then I will not feel excluded. Then I will not be so lonely. And people idealize it, and they put it on a pedestal, and they make a very big deal often about themselves or others getting married, which is good. We should make a big deal about a wedding. And then when they have the baby, it's even a bigger deal. And what I often see with my eyes is that people get so wrapped up in this marriage thing, and they get so wrapped up in this mother thing, that they completely forget about everything else. And if I have the opportunity to speak to singles, I am so grateful to be able to say, marriage is not to be worshipped. Marriage is not to be put on a pedestal. And I am against the fact, and I say this boldly, that the church often make us feel that marriage is the ultimate thing. When the Apostle Paul, one of the most powerful men that ever lived, said, I wish everyone was single like me. Wow. He says, it's a simpler life in many ways. Now, the scripture goes on, and I don't have it there to say, but if you really battle, and it specifically says, if you battle sexually to not have someone to fulfill your needs, then by all means get married. And most of us have a sexual need. Most of us have an emotional need, and that is the way that God created us. But what I want to say and stress is that marriage is not to be put on a pedestal. Your life does not start and your purpose does not kick in on the day that you get married. Not at all. God is not surprised by the fact that you are single. Did you know that? He's not surprised. God doesn't go, wow, you're still single? You're not married yet? Sure. God is not surprised. Your life purpose started before you were formed in your mother's womb. That's when it started. Let's go on to the next scripture. Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art. You are a work of art. Created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which He set, so that we would walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us. I know people criticize the Message Bible. I used to be one of those people. Oh, the Message, you can never read the Message. I want to tell you, some scriptures we can understand very well if we read it in the Message Bible. And I checked this one. It does actually, it's fine to use the Message Bible for the scripture. I want to say something. I want to say that God created you and I, but I'm saying you because I'm specifically speaking to those who are single this morning. God prepared a set of good works for you, a good life, the Bible calls it, that He predestined for you, and He's calling you to do that life. And I want to say, a good life is not an easy life. a good life is not an easy life. Surrendering to the Lord Jesus and laying down your life and taking up your cross is not easy. I have some family members who do not follow God, who are not born again Christians. They really don't have any religion whatsoever. They have a lot of money. They have a beautiful house that I envy. They have wonderful, beautiful children. They have a wonderful life. They have DSTV. I know you think everybody's got DSTV. We don't have a TV. I go to people and I go, wow, you have DSTV. But it's by choice that we don't have it. But you know what I see? Yes, they have their challenges. Of course, they have their marriage challenges. They have their challenges at work. But what I see is, it's apart from that, it's an easy life. And David in the Psalms, he often envies, though, have you seen, he envies the wicked. He says, why can I not have such an easy, wonderful, good life? But it's not a good life. Because it doesn't bear eternal fruit. And to live for yourself and to only live for those that you love, according to the Bible, is not really loving. Because it's easy to only love those who love you. It's easy to find pleasure in the things that you find pleasure in and to do that day in and day out. And God is calling us to a good life, but not an easy life. And I have battles, believe me. Sometimes I cry and I look in the mirror and I speak to myself, but I also sort of speak to God. I don't know, ladies, I'm sure you do the same thing. You know, I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh God, my life is so hard and why? You know, I have my battles and we all have our battles. But we should be careful not to feel sorry for ourselves. And we should be sure to find ourselves in God and to believe and trust in the Lord that our lives count for something because of His kingdom and that we are not to wait for anything to happen to live our lives fully and to find ourselves in Him and in His purposes. And how do we find those purposes? You know, I have a very good friend. I preach about her all the time. Whenever I see her, she says to me, what did you tell the people about me this time? You know, what do the people know about me this time? And she, you know, she's just like everybody knows about her. Her name is Toni. She has cerebral palsy. She's severely disabled. Her life is extremely hard. In my eyes, it's almost impossible. She's mentally very sharp. She's one of the cleverest people that I know. She's socially very sharp. She lives on her own. She lives independently, but she's paying a high price for that. She cannot use her hand. She can use her one hand, sort of. She can walk, but she often needs a stick and sometimes a wheelchair. She has a speech impediment, which is quite severe, so people don't understand her. She's in Namibia now. So I said to her, how a flight to Namibia, how is that for you? She said, you know what my greatest battle is? Everybody think I'm mentally disabled. But there's nothing wrong with her mentally. She's like you and I. And she says, and I fly with assistants and I'm in a wheelchair and I'm trying to tell my assistant that I want to go to the bathroom. You know, when you have to go, you have to go. But he doesn't even look at me when I speak because he thinks I'm unaware. Do you know what? Do you know the pain? Can you imagine the suffering? Can you imagine being rejected all day long, every day, even by the church because people are extremely uncomfortable in your presence? You represent what they don't want to know and don't want to see. They want to shut you out. I want to tell you something about Toni. She lives a good life. She doesn't just live a good life. She lived one of the best lives that I have ever come across. We invited her for supper the other evening. Tony's single, by the way. Desperately would have liked to be a wife and a mother like most women. The other day we invited her for supper. She said, I will bring the food. I said, Tony, how are you going to do that? She said, don't question me. I will bring the food. So there, usually she buys pizza for us. We are 7 people in our household, and we often have other people there who lives with us temporarily or just lives there for a while, whatever. We are that kind of family. It's always people come and go. And you know, she brings food for whoever is there, which was 8 that particular day, 8 people and herself, so it's 9 people. She came with 2 huge roast chickens and vegetables and pudding, which she had the lady that cleans for her. She gave her instructions because she's a good cook, even though she cannot really use her hands. And we had a lovely supper. I want to tell you something about Tony. One day she will stand before Jesus, and this world rejected her. And God will say, well done, good and faithful Tony. You have no idea what I have prepared for you, because you lived a life that glorified me every second of every day. So I look at Tony when I cry like that and I look in the mirror, oh God, and God says, go have a look at Tony, get yourself together, stop the self-pity. I want to speak over your lives, ladies, I want to say, do not go there where you ask so many questions. Why am I still waiting for this husband? And I don't know you, as I said, some of you might not even feel ready to be married yet for some or other reason. I don't know. But what I want to say is, do not allow yourself to believe the lies of the enemy. Because God prepared good works for you even before you were born, and your job is to discover those good works, which is a daily activity, and to then walk in it. And you live not for yourself, but for others. Is that news for you? Is that news? You know, I used to feel very sorry for myself at a stage. I have that from time to time, then I work through it. I don't allow myself any longer because God doesn't allow me, and really brings you nowhere. But there were seasons in my life when I was exhausted year in and year out. And my life was a sacrificial outpouring for my children, my husband as well, but mostly my children and others, people that would come into our house, the church. I would be exhausted. I would be up all night changing nappies and breastfeeding. I would prepare a sermon in between the nappies and the breastfeeding between 12 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning. And then I would rock up at church looking dreadful, exhausted. Would look like someone who is absolutely not sleep deprived, which is what I was. And then I would go and stand on the pulpit and I would preach. And then after preaching, I would feel finished. And then I would be the last person to leave the church, because we were praying for people. And you know, people always want the preacher to pray for them. That really makes no sense. Why? Everybody's anointed to pray for them. And then I would finally go home and I would walk into that house. And there are 5 children and a husband. And the kids go, what is for lunch? And I would just go, God, do you really want me to cook now? Is this really? And then the kitchen would be a mess. I mean, I can't just cook. I first have to clean the kitchen. And God said to me, I have prepared good works for you, and you have to walk in it. And sometimes it will require from you to lay down your life and to sacrifice to the point where you are really finished, because you do not live for yourself, and your good works that I've created you for is not for you. It's for others. It is for my kingdom, because my kingdom is people. And I want to ask you, ladies, what are your good works and who are they for? and the needs that you have, how well are you doing at taking it to God and leaving it there and living your life passionately and fully? Let's move on to the next scripture. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 5. For just as Christ's sufferings are ours in abundance as they overflow to his followers, so also our comfort, our reassurance, our encouragement, our consolation is abundant through Christ. It is truly more than enough to endure what we must. The comfort of God, which comes by the Holy Spirit, is more than enough for us. So what do we do with our lives when things don't add up? What do we do while we wait for the next thing? What do? We take comfort in the Lord Jesus. I try taking comfort in my husband. It works to an extent. I've tried taking comfort in my children. Doesn't work that well to an extent. I've tried taking comfort in some trusted friends. It's okay. I have a sister. She's very close to me. I've tried to take comfort in her. Yes, it helps a lot. But nowhere am I really satisfied. And then finally, after going from person to person to person, I go to God and I take comfort in God and I am comforted. And you know what God doesn't do with me? And I don't know if he does it with you, but I doubt it very much. He doesn't go, oh man, poor you. This is really hard. You know, I wish he would do that sometimes. He doesn't do that. He says, my grace is enough for you. I give you strength more than you can even realize. I give you a purpose for your life. Discover it. Get up. Get dressed. Face the day. Do what you have to do. I am with you and I love you more than you could ever know, even when you do not understand. So find that set of good works. And when you need comfort, which is perfectly fine, we all are desperate for comfort, actually. You know, I spoke to Carlos and Elmerie, and just the huge thing to adapt to a new country, which is a huge thing, especially if you have children. Now, Hercules and Melanie will have to do it. And I said to them, man, it's tough. They said, yes, it's tough. But then we can go back to South Africa and not feel sorry for them, but pray for them. Because we know that God comforts. And the comfort of God doesn't just bring comfort, the Holy Spirit. It brings purpose and it brings understanding and it brings enough grace for us to be passionate about the good works that God is calling us for. Let's move on to the next scripture. Oh, it's not a scripture. I'm sorry, Charlotte. You have to be brave with your life so that others can be brave with theirs. I love that. When I read it the first time, I thought, wow, that really encourages me. Because we are not living for ourselves. And I want to encourage you. In this season in your life, which might be short, which might be longer still, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know why some of you feel, perhaps, that you are in that car seat and you are kicking and screaming and God is ignoring you. Or perhaps you are content. I don't know. But what I do know is, whatever the season of your life is, you have to be brave about it. You have to show the world and you have to show the church that the season that I'm in now, and for all of us it's different, but for you it is being single. For some of us it is just being married or being parenting young children or going through a financial crisis or going through a relational crisis. Whatever your season is, you have to show the world and even show the church, I am brave about this season. I am brave about my life. You know what courage is? Without fear, courage wouldn't exist. If there was no fear, why would you need to take courage? You know, some things come easy for us, but some things are hard. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I don't feel like facing the day. It's too hard for me. And why do I get up? Because I take courage, like the Bible says. Be strong, be very courageous. And ladies, I want to encourage you, be brave about the season that you are in. It is a gift. It actually is a gift. Paul says, like we read, I wish everybody was single like me, because it's a simpler life. And I don't know how much or to which extent you realize this, but God is jealous of us. And He wants our time, and He wants our resources, and He wants our love and our affection. And the moment when you get married, you sacrifice some of that. Did you know that? Paul says, he says, when you get married, you will be wrapped up in the things of marriage and family. As I'm standing here, I am completely wrapped up in the things of marriage and family. And I don't know, perhaps you desire that right now, perhaps not, I don't know. But I can tell you what, I desire your life as well. Man, I desire being all alone and have nobody asking anything from me. I desire a dull moment. I was listening to the radio the other day while I was driving, and a lady phoned. And I don't know what the program was, I don't know, but her problem was loneliness. And she said, I'm so lonely. And then she said, nobody phones me. Nobody sends me any messages. Nobody talks to me. My house is dead quiet. And I was thinking, man, to me it sounds like heaven. To me it sounds like heaven. Nobody talks to me. Nobody asks anything of me. My house is dead quiet. I will never remember that sentence. My eyes is do it still in Afrikaans. My house is dead. I was thinking, what I wouldn't give for a dead quiet house. Man, I want that. God knows. But see, the Lord knows. God knows. And now, even though, and God is good. I mean, here we are without any of our beautiful children who drives us crazy. Here we are, and it's such a privilege just to be away from it all. This is God answering my prayer. But see, God will do the same for you. We have to be brave with our season. Our season is often not what we want right now. Is that true? This is God. Man, He wants us to die to self. This is the good news, which doesn't feel good always. We often don't appreciate our season. But I want to encourage you, ladies, appreciate your season. Appreciate the fact that you have time and resources, that you are not tangled up, and there are things that you could do that you will not be able to do once you get married and once you have children. And yes, there are frustrations. Yes, there are battles. Take it to God, because His grace actually really is enough. Let's move on. Philippians 3, verse 13 to 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I've made it on my own yet. This is Paul. Paul made it, you know. It was humble to say this, but he was a humble man because he was like Jesus. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, heaven and eternity is a concept that we often battle with. Do you agree with me? Someone said to me the other day, she said, you know, I battle to get excited about heaven. She said, streets of gold, angels dancing. So what then? She says, I don't get excited about streets that are gold and angels that are dancing. I don't know why. What can you get me excited about heaven? You know, I looked at her and I once again realized if we don't experience God, if we don't experience His love and His peace, and sometimes it's like Anton said about marriage last night, 20% of the time it's like this and 20%. You know, the reality is sometimes we receive a word from God, a word of wisdom, a word of encouragement, or sometimes God will answer a prayer, and it is exhilarating, and we can jump out of our skins, and it is so exciting. And other times, it is just the mundane of getting up and doing the job and letting our light shine and being a testimony and sacrifice, and we forget what lies before us. It is eternity. And when we hit eternity, we will regret what we did not understand on earth. Sometimes I look at people with hard lives that are worshiping God with their lives, and I think to myself, just hang in there. Just keep on being faithful, because you have no idea when you meet Jesus in heaven, bliss upon bliss upon bliss. He prepares something there for you, which will be a direct reward. A direct reward of your life on earth. And this life is short, short, short. It can end today. You can die today. I don't think you will. I trust God that we won't. But it can happen. And then what? We cannot spend the eight... The word of God says a man lives for 70 years, and if he is particularly strong, more than 70 years. This means Anton and I and Hercules and Carlos are over halfway with our lives. David. Sorry, David. It's a compliment. So, what are we doing today? Because this is what matters. This sounds like a motivational speech now. Grab the day. But I'm going to end now. I want to encourage you. And I know this was like, you know, I have a way of just going so deep, so soon. I'm sorry, there was nothing much very practical about my message. But I want to encourage you to see God in this season in your life. To seek Him with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind, and not lean on your own understanding, and make a peace with this season. And know that one day I will give an account of this day. And I must live my life well, and I must be brave in this season. And I will know God, and one day I will know fully. And God knows me fully. And He doesn't just know me. Just as I was driving in that car, and Caleb is screaming and kicking, I love Him more than I can ever describe. And it was hard for me and tough for me to see that He is battling. But I know that I'm a good mother. And I want to again encourage you before I end off. You have a good Father who gives good gifts. And while you are waiting for your gift, and I don't know if you are waiting, I don't know you as I said, but whatever this season of being single is like for you, however you are experiencing it, I want to say that God and His grace is enough for you. Amen. Let's just pray before we move on to Anton. God, I want to thank You for an intimate morning, God. I want to thank You, God, that we can have an intimate discussion, Lord. Father, I want to thank You for every single lady that is here, Lord. Father, thank You that You love her. every one of them here, Lord, with all of your heart, Lord. And that you are the driver of the car that they are in, Lord. And you know what is best for them. And Father, I pray for them in the name of Jesus that they will be brave with their lives and that they will trust you, Lord, with all of their hearts and not lean on their own understanding, Father. Father, I pray specifically, I pray for Jackie, Lord. I pray for Laura. I pray for Christy. I pray for Charlotte, Father. Father, I pray that you will surround them with your love. I pray, God, that you will reveal to them the joy and the peace that you bring, God. And that they will see, Father, with your eyes, and that they will hear with your ears. And I pray, God, that they will do this season in their lives, that they will do it well, Lord, and pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.